Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We find ourselves working our way through the book of Daniel, and today we come to Daniel in chapter 8. We've certainly seen that as the book progresses, that there are some, as it were, straightforward stories where men of God make a choice. Some time ago, we looked at Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and they make the choice that they won't bow down to the image, and they're confident that if they die, their God is with them, and if he chooses to deliver them, he can do that. That sort of faith and confidence is tremendous. Daniel continues to pray three times a day. He knows about the king's edict, he knows what the king has said, but he's not going to interrupt his prayer life and pattern simply because a king has declared that those who don't do what he says will die. This kind of heroic faith is there right throughout scripture and in these some of these chapters of Daniel. But Daniel has been really receiving revelations from God, and they weigh very heavily upon him. I can't pretend to fully understand everything he's seeing, but again, it's very much about end times. And again, it's very much about the fact that in the course of history, that kingdoms that seem to be very powerful and very dominant and ruling over other nations, whether that be embodied in the ram or the goat, this is what happens sometimes. Dynasties arise, and there are, you look at the Romans and the tremendous empire that they had, the Greeks and various other powerful groups who seem to be running the show. But the vision of Daniel is saying, but God is at work in the midst of all that. And however powerful someone may seem to be, however powerful and terrible a kingdom's rule is, it's all actually in the hands of a sovereign God. You have the whole sense of understand this vision concerns the time of the end. While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. I'm going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. Daniel is really caught up in a sense that it's not just the domestic situation of the day, it's not just the immediate impact of things happening in the political arena around him. Daniel is being given an insight into the fact that the devil is working through a number of different agencies, kings, authorities, powers, and he is ultimately wanting to destroy the Prince of Princes, which is Jesus Christ. And that's not just going to happen. That ultimately Jesus will come in all his glory and he will reign. Trying to see what's happening in our world without any extra revelation can be very daunting. When we hear the news, we can be very distraught at the way in which things just seem to be getting so bad. But whatever is happening in our world, whatever the media is bringing to our attention, we need to realize that God is in charge. God is all powerful. Yes, the enemy is wicked, he deceives, and he devastates and he destroys, but there is one who is superior to him. It's Jesus. We can see that. Daniel wasn't able to see the coming of Jesus in quite the way that we can, but he still clung to the hope that his God was in charge. Let's listen to some worship. My good friend Patrick will join me, and we'll look again at Daniel and chapter 8.
My God lives, breathing life into the weary. My God heals, and He wants to make me whole. We were made to reflect You in Your beauty. Your spirit makes me new. My life shall point to You. Renewed, refined, restored. And word I saw, in my weakness You'll be strong. An adopted child of God, I am. God speaks, building faith into His children. Words of truth, bringing freedom from our shame. We've been saved to reflect You in Your beauty.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at Daniel chapter 8. Richard, it's another one of these end-time visions, quite complex and difficult to understand what it's really saying, and maybe we shouldn't try too hard to understand what it's saying, but you can pick out one or two themes, one of which in verse 16 is the mention of Gabriel. And of course, you know, the angel, archangel Gabriel is a figure that appears at different times throughout the scriptures. Let's just touch on that for the moment in terms of why was he brought in here and what the role of angels is.
Well, certainly within the angelic scene, Gabriel is an outstanding figure. And I guess we can kind of think, well, it'd be lovely to meet him one day and talk about some of the things that he was involved in. Of course, he was the one who appeared to Mary to say, you're going to conceive and have Jesus. And he is going to bring in a kingdom that is above all other kingdoms. And that's very relevant, of course, to Daniel chapter 8. So I think what we can say is that it seems that there are those within the structure of the angelic who have particular responsibility and who come with the authority of God to declare and to pronounce what God's about to do. And Gabriel is definitely the man for the job. Mm. And he's given that primarily, as we've said, in announcing Jesus' coming. But even in events that are not the direct coming of Jesus, he's involved. He seems to have a very good handle on the plans and purposes of God. And as I said, it will be wonderful to meet him one day and have some insight from him.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, there are people, you know, in our world today who will look at passages like this and be quite specific about what they mean and when these things are going to happen. But is that always a good idea?
I personally don't think so. I think that's very unhelpful, because I think that insight revelation can be a progressive thing. For instance, there were people who talked about the 10 sort of horns as being the European community, and now there are 28 countries involved. And so what do you do with that when suddenly... So it is not wise to be so precise. I think they're giving us a general flavour of what is happening. I mean, verse 12, rebellion, the work of God's people being very powerfully challenged. That's happening. I can illustrate it in a number of ways. I don't need just one illustration. It's a general atmosphere that's being described. But overall, God's in charge.
When passages like this talk about, you know, the nations of the world and God's dealings with them, it does make you think, I suppose, that when we see world affairs and, you know, how nations govern themselves, how events take place, actually perhaps what we're seeing is all part of something rather bigger than just what's happening on the ground.
Well, that's very much the case. There seems to be a lot of pride in our world, particularly with people in positions of leadership who seem to act almost as if they're God. And that's such a dangerous place to be. People in high position need to exercise enormous humility. Whichever country you're talking about, whichever president, prime minister, parliament, dictator, whatever, it's just so necessary to see that things are very serious in our world, and the only answer is Jesus coming back.
And finally then, back to Daniel. At the end of this, he was exhausted. A sense of the heavy responsibility that was placed upon him to talk about these things.
Yes, I think that, you know, exhaustion, tiredness, weariness is a very, very important area of Christian life. I mean, after all, on a different level, but when Jesus was touched by the woman, we're told that he had a sense of something having left him. And it's inevitable when we're given revelation, when we're given a task to do. It's not just a physical thing. There's a spiritual dimension of battle and fatigue. And we've got to be very watchful that we don't at such times allow the enemy to get in and destroy, because that's what he'd love to do. He didn't achieve that with Daniel. He certainly didn't achieve that with Jesus. We need to be on our guard. He doesn't achieve that with us.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.